is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Canada, our very good neighbor to the north forever. And the man's name is Jordan Peterson. He's extremely famous. He's on YouTube all over the place. He's very well spoken. He's a professional psychologist, but he has not practiced his trade for many years. Mary Anastasia O'Grady joins. She writes the America's column for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. And I learned from Mary that Jordan Peterson is to be examined by his peers because, well, therein is the mystery. Mary, a very good evening to you. Jordan Peterson is very well spoken. If his colleagues want to hear him, all they have to do is put his name in. And in YouTube, we'll put up all of these remarks very cleverly over the years. He's debated everyone. So how is it that his peers suddenly want to examine how he speaks? He speaks very well. Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. You say his peers. I'm not sure if these are his peers. There are some regulators in Ontario. I think what's important about what's happening to Jordan Peterson in Canada is that the Supreme Court in Canada has allowed what I refer to in the column as the administrative state to basically choose, you know, what laws it wants to enforce or obey, I should say, and what laws it can sort of redraft and recreate. So what happened to Jordan Peterson is that he's a psychologist who's licensed by the Ontario College of Psychologists. It's not really a college. That's the term that's used, but it's actually a board of regulators. And they're the ones who grant licenses to psychologists in Ontario. As you mentioned, Jordan Peterson has not been seeing patients since 2017, but he still considers the credential he has as a psychologist to be an important part of his profile. And now he makes his money as a speaker, an author. He calls himself an online educator. He has 5 million followers on Twitter, or X, I should say. So he's very influential. And in this capacity, he makes commentary, political commentary. And the regulators at the College of Ontario Psychologists do not like his political commentary. And so they're telling him that he has to either be re-educated by counselors that they will choose, or he risks, you know, basically losing his license as a psychologist.
The quotes that you provide for the board's suspicion of Mr. Peterson is that his remarks are demeaning, degrading, and unprofessional. That's a judgment on the basis of politics. Is this what we're looking at? Is this the Canadian version of a cancel culture?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit it exactly right there. He never had a disciplinary hearing, which is what you would be what would be required in order to, judge him for competence, not for his political views. Most of the criticisms about him came to the board via Twitter. In other words, it wasn't his patients who were complaining about him. It was people on Twitter who didn't like his political commentary. And so they got together, they asked a panel to do an investigation of him. And then they made this ruling that he needed to be re-educated. And he took it to divisional court in Ontario. They ruled in favor of the board. So he appealed, and the appeals court declined to hear his case, which means it can't go any higher. That's it. He's at the end of the road. So the only way for him to fight this at this point is in the court of public opinion.
Mary, Canada is something I've never really focused on for bad acting. It's 40 million people. They have a beautiful, resource-rich country. And they're dominated by peace-loving, as far as I can tell. I know I'm generalizing, but what the heck? And it seems very strange that they would all of a sudden object to a famous Canadian. He's not a Republican. He's not in our governance whatsoever. So why does anybody do this? Where do they gain from this?
Well, he's a conservative. I think I could say that with. I mean, I don't follow him. I don't know everything he's ever written. My objection to what's going on is just basically that he has a right to his political views, and for a regulator to try to silence him by stripping him of his license seems decidedly illiberal to me. I think Canada, as you mentioned, is considered a peace-loving country. And I think the concept of tolerance, and I think we all believe in tolerance, kind of flipped in the opposite direction. Canadian law and the court, people in the courts and in academia and in, among the elite intellectuals, decided that, you know, there was a certain line of thinking when it came to things like transgender or climate commentary. And rather than enforcing tolerance, they've gone to the opposite direction and are now advocates of intolerance when the opinion doesn't go their way. And then that's what's really concerning here, because, you know, this ends up being kind of a state-sponsored police force that is saying people can only have this one set of political views because that's what they view as tolerant. And of course, that's a completely contradictory to the idea of tolerance.
Last week, we were very careful to discuss Cuba as a threat. Cuba as a threat as a state sponsor of terrorism. There's a letter in the Wall Street Journal from a member of Congress talking about the opinion of Cuba being a state sponsor, which is signed by Jim McGovern of Massachusetts. The letter is not convincing because my experience of Cuba is that it's a bad actor right now. But you tell me that it's been a bad actor for some decades.
Well, this is the opinion that James McGovern from Massachusetts and a senator from Vermont are sharing with us, or also happen to be the opinion of the human rights violator in Havana known as the Cuban government. So they are both on the same side of this page. I found it quite stunning in the letter for them to write that basically write off the murder of Americans in France's Tavern in the 1970s when the FLMN bombed the restaurant in the middle of the day. You know, children at home, their fathers never came home that night. And those fugitives, those people responsible for that bombing, are living in Cuba, and Cuba is harboring those fugitives. And in the letter, James McGovern says, well, yeah, they're aging fugitives, but, you know, they were never accused of international terrorism. Are you kidding me? I mean, okay, so they've been accused of domestic terrorism. They killed Americans, and he's defending them as aging fugitives. I find it beyond laughable. I mean, I really, you know, when we feel like our political system doesn't work, James McGovern is like exhibit A.
Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat, Massachusetts, and Senator Peter Wells, Democrat, Vermont, signed this letter in the Wall Street Journal. I recommend you all read it carefully, as Mary's just explicated it. Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Merrill.